what is your musical background?
Musical background, college dropouts rejoice, university graduates cringe. I dropped out of music school and college, I don't know, about a year and a half in. I was a little too cocky. I was just wanting to write my own original music for my experimental rock trio. I pretty much was just a dropout, so that's just the way it goes. But what happened was I was playing one weekend up with some of my buddies, and a friend of mine brought a film score up, the Never Cry Wolf score by Mark Isham. And when I heard that, I was completely floored, because I've never actually heard a real synth score for a movie like that. And I really connected with it, so I did end up going back to school and took a digital music program to study synthesis, MIDI, and studio workings, and composition courses. And I did complete that one. And then I went and assisted a film composer locally in Vancouver by the name of Terry Frewer for about 5 years, and did a lot of work on TV series and smaller films, and learned all my chops there.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, other than sort of the inspiration from Never Cry Wolf, was there anything else that kind of brought you to film and TV music?
Honestly, it really was that. When I was doing my rock trio, I was never interested in writing in standard song form. I didn't enjoy it. I was really just wanting to take the music where I wanted to take it. And when I first heard the Never Cry Wolf score, I thought he was writing whatever he wanted. I was too naive to realize the film was dictating what he was writing, but that really was what drew it to me, just the thought that I could, you know, go whichever way I wanted to with my music. Yeah, and it was just with that specific moment.
Mm-hmm. So what's the first thing you do when beginning to write a score?
First thing you do is you usually just have discussions with the director and just talk about what direction you want to take the film in, what kind of emotions you want the viewer to feel. Then we will spot the show, meaning we watch the film together. You know, usually, sometimes, more times than not, they have the movie temped with temporary music. Sometimes they'll hate the music. Sometimes they really like the direction it's going in. Other times they could care less. And, you know, it's usually a good barometer of, you know, knowing where they're at and what kind of direction they want to go emotionally. Yeah, once you sort all that out, then it comes down to, for me, it comes down to palette of instruments and sounds that the director wants to go in. We kind of get that down, and then I just start writing. And then it's just an approval process from there with you know, going from scene to scene.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, your latest film is called District 9. What can you tell us about your score to that?
There was definitely some unique challenges that came with that film. One of them was the fact that it starts off as a documentary. The first act is essentially a documentary, and then it gets much more dramatic and cinematic. So scoring that first third of the film was tricky for me, because I am used to actually scoring scenes, meaning, you know, you frame in dialogue, the action drops down, you drop the music down, it's just you break stuff down, you build it up, and Neil just couldn't articulate exactly what he wanted in the sequence. It just wasn't working for him, and I finally figured it out. He just wanted it to be blanketed music, meaning just a piece of music that was written that just could just be laid over top, and they would just ride the fader, much like a documentary. And then as the film got more and more cinematic and dramatic, we absolutely started introducing more of the orchestra, and I actually started scoring around sequences and dialogue and such. So that was one of the challenges for sure. The other challenge was dealing with the African element. Neil was really wanting to keep this as African as possible. The problem is that he wasn't liking the overall sound of what I would come up with based on the instrumentation. Mm-hmm. The drums were too small. They weren't big and dark enough. The instruments were too cute and light sounding, and the rhythms themselves, because it's the southern part of the continent, and the music is fairly positive, and the rhythms themselves weren't aggressive enough. So we had to take a lot of liberties. The keys that were going to retain the African feel were vocals, and some of the smaller percussion, but everything else we just took liberties on.
Mm-hmm. So now, what influenced instrument choice? I mean, other than maybe the African instruments that you mentioned.
I don't know if there's anything in particular that influenced. Yeah, it was just a lot of experimentation. One of the key sounds I created was I recorded a Comanche player. I had an Iranian guy come in. We have a pretty big Iranian community here in Vancouver, and Comanche, it sounds similar to a few instruments that are in the northern part of the continent, and I had him come in and play, and I don't know if you've ever seen one. It's like a little mini banjo that you play upright and you bow it. As soon as he started playing, I realized, again, it was going to be the same issues. It was going to be too small and not big enough sounding for Neil. But I had an idea, and I got him to start playing some two-note chords and getting him really experimenting with stuff he'd never done before. I feel sorry for him because when he goes to see the movie, he's not going to actually recognize himself. But what I did was I took a few parts that I got him to play, and I contorted them within my computer and stretched them and detuned them and created some very, very cool ambient sounds to use as beds in the film. And it was a real jumping point creatively for me, doing stuff like that for it. And Neil was flipping out. He loved the sound of it. So, yeah, that was some of the stuff we did.
Mm-hmm. Now, because you had the sort of two different styles of music, essentially a documentary and a dramatic piece, did you do anything to tie them together? Or were you just, was it just, this is the documentary portion, this is the dramatic portion?
Well, I took moments, like for instance over the main titles, well, the lack of main titles, just over the opening sequence to bring, we used a bit of the orchestra, a bit of the voice, some of the bigger percussion, and then kind of broke it down over the next few sequences. And then there was another scene where they're actually going to District 9, and we decided to go big and thematic over that because we see a couple of the other characters are going to play large roles in the film. But after that, it was pretty much just subdued, straight percussion, ambient sounds, just to keep the a little bit more mysterious. But I think it tied together pretty well. I think it was kind of seamless, the transition, both from an edit standpoint and from a music standpoint. I guess somebody else will decide for sure, but we were pretty happy with it in the end.
Cool. Now, you mentioned that was it Neil, the director, wasn't too, was kind of, you mentioned that, you know, the stuff isn't big enough, but how involved does he become in your music?
Basically, Neil was in New Zealand and in South Africa throughout the process, so I was just uploading video files to scenes I would score onto a secure server, and he'd just check it out. And, you know, Neil's never the type that, you know, would tell you to change this note, change that note. Absolutely not, nothing like that. Just a general feel of what he wanted. Once I started scoring scenes, we were clicking, and because we've worked before and everything's great and that sort of things, the hang-ups were mostly just to do with instrumentation. And like I said, a bit of the hiccup at the start with the documentary side of things, so I figured out what he wanted. So no, there was a lot of creative leeway for me, and he was really pushing me to you know, try things different and differently. And the emotional sequences of when lead character Vickas is talking to his wife, I originally scored those just straight with orchestra, and Neil didn't want it at all. He felt it sounded, he was really concerned with it sounding like typical movie music. He thought it sounded like E.T. And he said, dude, it sounds too E.T., and I'd never heard that from a director before, so it was quite but anyways, I just started experimenting with more of that Comanche-type sound, and the orchestra's still in there. I buried it underneath just so it wasn't as prominent for him, but that was, you know, he loved that stuff, and yeah.
Okay,
so I really did get to do my own thing.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to a science fiction film, do you have a formula that you follow? Or is it just, this is what science fiction will sound like? This is what a drama will sound like? This is what a comedy will sound like?
No, it's just whatever the story dictates. You know, you just really have to get a feel for the characters and what you want to have the viewer feel and when you want the viewer to feel it. And instrumentation-wise, yeah, it really just depends. You know, sometimes you're going to score the setting. Sometimes you're going to score the type of characters. You know, it's just, yeah, each film is different unto itself. I would never approach something specifically as, you know, sci-fi, drama, you know, comedy. You know, I guess comedies would be, you know, a different ball of wax. But, no, I don't usually go in with a set process. I like to just get in there and get a feel for what the film is like and see what comes.
Okay. Well, now, as a composer, your job is, of course, to write music. But do you use silence as a composing tool?
Oh, absolutely. Quite often, I'm pushing more for no score in moments than to have score. You know, there's plenty of spectacular films out there that have no score at all or very, very minimal amount of score. I do, like, the film I just did that's coming out, I believe it's going to be at the Toronto Film Festival, called Cole. There is 8 minutes of score in that film that's, you know, 90 minutes plus. I'm never one that's pushing for me to myself to be heard and, you know, for opportunities to put music here and there and there. It's just whatever the story dictates. If I think that the actors are really carrying a scene, I will quite often, you know, even if the director asks me to score it and we get to the mix, I will tell them to try it muted and to see what everybody feels like with the producers there and see if everybody, you know, is happy with it where there's no score. So, no, I'm not a person that is, you know, averse to silence at all.
Okay. So now, when it comes to movie music and TV music, you're located in Vancouver. Is there a Canadian sound when it comes to film and TV music?
That's a good question. I don't quite know. Most of the stuff that's done in Vancouver is, a lot of it's movie of the week, American films, and most of the Canadian films, aside from the, you know, Carl Desai and Bruce Sweeney and a couple others here, most of it's done back east. So, you know, I don't know. I would never be able to pinpoint a specific Canadian sound. I believe there's a Canadian film style, but I don't know if there's actually a Canadian scoring style.
Well, now, getting back to District 9, with the alien elements that are obviously prevalent in the film, was the use of the African instruments and the African influence, especially, you know, the singing and the voices, was that a sort of a way of bringing out the alien sound, or were there other ways that you did that?
The specific alien sound, it was, yeah, the vocals were just trying, because we've got a unique situation where the lead character, Vickis, is a guy that not everybody's really going to like. They're going to despise him at times. It's a different character arc for sure. But I was just trying as best I can to keep it as positive as I could. The vocals were just supposed to represent a yearning for going home, or for Vickis, in Vickis's case, to get back to being human. So it was kind of interchanged between him and the aliens, because their story was, I was trying to bring it together so that they were going to be together and lead the viewers to some sort of sense that they were going to team up, and to keep it as positive as possible, because he really does, you know, he abandons them at one point in the film, and it's real tricky because we don't want the viewer to disconnect from him. So the vocals were just an attempt to really help tie it all together and to keep it as positive as possible.
So how do you prepare, or actually, are we going to see a District 9 soundtrack?
Yes, you can pre-order it right now on Amazon.com and on iTunes. For Canadian folks, I just sent an email off to Sony because it's not available yet on Amazon.ca for pre-order, nor is it available as a pre-order on iTunes Canada. I'm waiting for a reply. I hope they reply today. Yeah, it's a done deal. Sony's releasing it. Yeah, very exciting.
Okay. So how do you prepare your cues for a soundtrack release?
Well, it's the first time I've had one released, so the preparation is new to me. But, you know, you have to try and, you know, pick which pieces are going to be the most listenable, you know, by themselves. There's a fair amount of editing, because there's moments in films where you are forced to kind of get a little bit repetitive, and it's not noticed by the viewer, but you don't want to draw attention to the music quite often. So you have to edit things down, and, you know, requires... The big thing is that, you know, for the films, the score is mixed in surround sound, and it requires another mixing process to put it in stereo, that it has to be mastered, and, you know, yeah, there's a few technical things, but, yeah, it's mostly just editing it down and just hand-picking which cues will be the most listenable.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it an overwhelming experience to be in a film kind of this size?
Absolutely. I mean, we had no idea at the time it was going to be this big. Like, when I went and saw the first cut, I guess it was in January, with Terry, Neil, and Julian, I thought the film was going to be great. And, you know, I told them, I said, this is the kind of movie me and my buddies would just kill to go and see. It's going to be a ton of fun. But nobody thought it would be this big. Nobody. So that was kind of a blessing. It was nerve-wracking knowing that Peter Jackson was going to be giving the final stamp of approval on the cues, but... Other than that, we just didn't think it was going to be this big. If I knew it was this big going in, yeah, I would have been a lot more nerve-wracking than it was.
Well, okay, how would a score that you write today differ from one that you wrote at the beginning of your career?
Well, I'm a much better musician and a much better writer now, but I also feel like I have a much better understanding of story and how to interact with it in a way that's in the best interest of the story and in the best interest of maintaining the viewer's interest and helping the viewer to connect with certain characters and further the story. I would say that is probably the most important one. And really, you know, for film composers, one of the most important things is actually knowing when and where to have music and how to get in and out gracefully. You know, you can be the world's greatest composer, but if you're not good at that aspect of it, which is an art form unto itself, you can butcher a film in a heartbeat. If you get the emotion just a little bit wrong, you'll lose the viewer, and you'll destroy everything that the director was trying to attain. So that is the thing that I feel like has grown exponentially for me.
Okay. So now that District 9 is under your belt, and there's still some great things coming from that, but what does the future hold for you?
There's quite a few bites out there, but nothing I can really say just yet. In the end, all I hope is that I work on a show that, you know, has very talented people and has a great story, and that's going to be a lot of fun to work on. That's all you can really hope for. You never know exactly how well a film's going to do. You hope it does well, and you hope people like what you've done. But the primary driving force behind working on something is just making sure you're working with talented people that really care about what they're doing, and are in a groove and in sync with what they want to tell. When you're working on a project where there's some miscommunication and there's people pulling at either ends, it's not very enjoyable. But when it all, you know, is in sync, it's the best job you can have. It's great.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I do appreciate the time you've given me today. It looks like District 9 is going to be huge, and I'm really looking forward to the soundtrack release, and hopefully we'll get a Canadian release soon of the District 9 score.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob.